Layla did not exist before this episode. What they're about to describe is happening across London as you listen. This is their story. In education, across one of the most deprived constituencies in the country, mathematics graduates who want to teach cannot access the training that would put them in front of students who need them. Hackney South and Shoreditch watches qualified candidates walk away while classrooms sit without teachers. Not because the people or the need have disappeared, but because someone decided the pounds that would connect them are too precious to spend.
I grew up above my parents' corner shop in Tower Hamlets, watching my father help customers with their change, and my mother calculates stock orders in her head faster than most people could use a calculator. Numbers were never abstract in our house. They were how we lived. When my younger brother struggled with his times tables because of his dyslexia, I spent hours finding ways to make the patterns click for him. That was when I first understood that mathematics could be a door, not a wall. At Queen Mary University, I fell in love with pure mathematics, but it was during my placement year at a local secondary school that I found my calling. I watched kids who had been told they were bad at maths suddenly light up when I showed them that algebra was just arithmetic with letters, that geometry was about seeing shapes in the world around them. The girl who couldn't grasp fractions until I used pizza slices, the boy who discovered he could do calculus once I stopped using textbook examples and started with football trajectories. I wanted to spend my life in those moments of understanding. In September 2023, I applied for secondary mathematics teacher training through the Department for Education's postgraduate program. The first shock came in the phone call from their recruitment office. The training bursary for mathematics teachers in London has been reduced from £27,000 to £15,000, the administrator told me. Treasury spending constraints require us to prioritize recruitment nationally rather than regionally. I asked what that meant. She said the government had decided that London didn't need special support for teacher recruitment anymore. Despite everyone knowing that £15,000 barely covers rent in Zone 2, let alone living costs while training full-time. I applied to four training providers anyway: UCL Institute of Education, King's College London, London Metropolitan University, and Middlesex University. Every single one confirmed that places were available. Every single one also said the reduced bursary made London placements financially unviable for most candidates. The program coordinator at UCL was blunt. We have the capacity, we have the demand from schools, but we can't ask people to live in poverty while training to become teachers. I decided to visit the UCL Institute of Education building in Bloomsbury to see for myself. The receptionist was chatting with a maintenance worker when I arrived. "Such a shame about those rooms upstairs," she was saying. Three empty seminar rooms that had been packed with teacher training cohorts the previous year. When I explained why I was there, she shook her head. "We've had to turn away 12 qualified candidates for mathematics this year. The funding just isn't there anymore." I walked up to those empty rooms, clean whiteboards, stacks of unused chairs, mathematical posters still on the walls showing trigonometric functions and quadratic graphs. Everything ready, except the political will to fund the people who wanted to learn in them. I tried a different route, school-based training directly with Hackney Learning Trust. The woman who answered my call sounded tired before I even finished explaining what I wanted. "We have 8 secondary schools desperate for maths teachers," she said. 8. "But we can't offer training places without the government bursary to support trainees' living costs. The schools would love to have you, but they can't pay you a living wage while you're learning to teach. That's what the bursary was for." There was no funding. That's what everyone kept saying. There was no funding, I walked past my old secondary school in Hackney one afternoon and decided to find my former mathematics teacher, Mrs. Raman. She was in her classroom marking papers at 5 p.m. When I told her what I was trying to do, her face fell. "Three unfilled mathematics positions," she said. "Three. And I know six recent graduates who want to teach but can't afford to train in London without proper financial support. They're working in banks and consultancy firms instead, wasting their passion for education because the government won't invest £12,000 more per person to train them properly." I stared at the empty desks in her classroom. 30 spaces for students who needed mathematics teachers, six graduates who wanted to teach them, training providers with empty seminar rooms and available places, schools with vacant positions, and someone in Westminster had decided that the thing missing from this equation was £12,000 per trainee. That's when I started to see the contradiction. The people existed, the buildings existed, the need existed, the knowledge of how to train mathematics teachers existed, the schools existed, the students existed. What exactly was it that there was no money for? The government that prints every pound note and mints every coin in the country was telling me it couldn't find enough of them to connect the people who wanted to teach with the students who needed teachers. The same government that had found billions for bank bailouts and tax cuts for corporations couldn't find a few million to properly fund teacher training in London. I used to accept the excuse that there was no money. I hear it differently now. The government that creates the currency told me it could not find enough of it to train the people who were standing right there ready to teach. The real question was never about money. It was about whether the graduates existed, whether the training could be delivered, whether the classrooms were available. They were, all of them. The excuse was not a fact. It was a choice wrapped in the language of impossibility. It is the same logic as my parents saying, "We cannot afford it," about the corner shop. Except my parents do not issue their own currency. The government does. The limit was never the money. The limit was the willingness to spend it into the places and the people who needed it. I'm still here, still watching. I see the same empty training rooms, the same desperate schools, the same qualified graduates taking jobs in finance because teaching has been priced out of reach. I understand now that this is not just my story or just about teacher training. It is the story of every constituency where people and needs exist side by side, while someone in Westminster says the cupboard is bare, the cupboard that they fill themselves whenever they choose to.
What Layla experienced has a name: cherry picking. This is when someone selects the rare examples where spending failed to justify never spending while ignoring the overwhelming evidence of what happens when government does invest. Think of a tobacco company in the 1960s pointing to the one 90-year-old smoker to argue cigarettes don't cause cancer while ignoring thousands of studies showing they do. Every time someone told Layla there is no money for teacher training, they were applying household logic to a currency issuer. When pressed, the Department for Education would cherry-pick examples of education spending that didn't deliver perfect outcomes, using those isolated cases to justify cutting bursaries across the board. They ignored the overwhelming evidence that proper teacher training bursaries work, that they fill classrooms with qualified educators, that students in those classrooms achieve better results. The favorite cherry-picked objection is, "Look what happened to countries that overspent on public services." This completely misses the point. Countries that issue their own currency have never defaulted due to domestic spending. Greece, the standard example, used the euro and did not issue its own currency. Nordic countries with large public sectors have lower debt crises, not higher. The resources existed, the people existed, the decision not to connect them was political, not financial. Hackney South and Shoreditch ranks 80 out of 543 English constituencies in the English Indices of Deprivation 2025, placing it in deprivation decile 2. The constituency has 1,253 registered charities according to the Charity Commission Register. Total grants received amount to £74.1 million according to 360 Giving Grant NAV. All sources are published at blockedbritain.co.uk. Blocked Britain tells the stories of people whose lives are shaped by the gap between what Britain needs and what its institutions choose to provide. Every character is fictional. Every situation is drawn from official statistics. Produced by Blocked Britain.